I'm Carol Hills in for Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's Christmas Eve, and for many across the globe, it's a time of good cheer and fellowship. That's why it's so hard to witness what's unfolding right now in South Sudan. More than a week of ethnic violence has left more than 1,000 people dead, according to the UN, and this in one of the world's poorest, least developed countries. To find out what's going on in South Sudan, we turned to the New York Times' Nick Kulish. We spoke to him on a phone line from the capital, Juba. He visited a UN camp earlier in the day.
Well, there are thousands of people with very little in the way of shelter. They're complaining about significant shortages of water and food, and they say that they're afraid to go home for what might face them if they do.
Who are these people? So what parts of South Sudan are they coming from?
The people that are at the two UN compounds here in Juba are largely from the Nuer ethnic group, and they are mostly coming from Juba and the surroundings. And then you can still see, even now, more than a week after the conflict started, you can still see buses pulling up with packed with people with bags loaded up on top.
And what do they say about what forced them out of their homes?
Well, they describe situations in which people were being rounded up based on their ethnicity. People were being shot. People were being killed. You know, it's a pretty ugly scene that's being described. You know, one guy described basically surviving only because he spoke the Dinka language and didn't have any of the typical ritual scarification on his face of Nuer people, but said that others around him were taken away and were killed. And I think, you know, it's just the little things like that, I guess, that are making a difference between life and death here and in other parts of the country.
And we should mention, you've mentioned two of the ethnic groups, Dinka and Nuer, and Dinka is the ethnic group that the president of South Sudan belongs to, President Salva Kiir, and Nuer is the ethnic group that Riek Machar belongs to. He's the vice president who was sort of kicked out of office. I think what's incredible from this distance, it seems like this happened kind of out of nowhere. A week ago, it seems like no one was thinking this would happen. What got this conflict going?
Well, I mean, I think you mentioned former Vice President Riek Machar getting kicked out of office, and that happened over the summer. You know, I think that what you had politically was a sort of uncomfortable power-sharing agreement that people knew was unstable and wasn't necessarily going to last, but I think they hoped that it would be resolved at the ballot box. And instead, it has spilled into significant violence.
You mentioned earlier that you were in South Sudan over the summer. Compare that time to now. I mean, did you have any inkling that something like this could happen?
Well, there was violence over the summer as well, which was between the Nuer and a much smaller ethnic group known as the Merle in the Jonglei state, and in a way, the idea that there were these tensions and disagreements that could burst into violence was there, but I don't think that anyone expected this level of violence between the country's two largest ethnic groups to essentially threaten to tear the state apart. And I think that's what we're seeing now, which is why people are so focused on it and trying so hard to stop that.
Journalist Nick Kulish, he's in South Sudan reporting for the New York Times. He's been speaking to us from Juba in South Sudan. Thanks so much, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Back when South Sudan became an independent country in 2011, there were hopes that these kind of conflicts were a thing of the past. A peace accord had ended the long civil war with Khartoum in the north, and it was largely brokered by the United States. Ambassador Princeton Lymond helped mediate the talks between the north and south. He worked with all the principal players in the current conflict in South Sudan, including former Vice President Riek Machar and President Salva Kiir.
President Kiir is a man who comes out of the army, a man who fought for independence for some 20 years. His whole career has been in the army. He doesn't have education outside of that. He has been up to now a conciliator. Now, Rick Machar, the former vice president, has a different career path, a scholar, a PhD, a very sophisticated, articulate man. But he has a reputation also in South Sudan because in 1991, he led his forces in a break from the liberation movement and fought a very bloody battle with the SPLM. And that memory lingers.
And the SPLM was the main rebel group.
Group. I'm sorry, the Sudan People's Liberation Movement.
So what is at issue between them?
Well, it's power. Riek Machar always had ambitions to be the president. But for the majority Dinka, remembering 1991, that was a real problem.
I want to ask, I mean, from a distance, there's a tendency to want to explain this. Oh, it's an ethnic conflict. You have a president who's of one ethnic group, in this case Dinka, and you have this vice president who's of another ethnic group, and this is an ethnic conflict. Is that a fair characterization?
Well, the problem is it can become that if you don't manage it, if you don't manage to keep that sense of unity that everybody came together in 2011 when the independence was achieved, and you make sure that these fractures aren't broken open, that all the memories don't come to the surface, and you let loose the dogs of war.
Now, what is the U.S. interest in South Sudan? You played a direct role yourself. The Obama administration has spent a lot of time on it. What's the interest?
Several things. There was a great deal of public interest in Sudan and the Sudan Civil War because of charges of slavery and religious discrimination. The North is largely Muslim, trying to impose Sharia law on a Christian South. But also the stability of that whole part of Africa. We invested a lot in the peace process, but our interest now, not only in because of this historical commitment and role in it, but the collapse of South Sudan just would have repercussions in every direction, Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya. And that's why the regional countries in Africa have been so concerned, why their foreign ministers were there just recently. So it's a security, stability interest as well as an historical one.
Ambassador Lyman, where do we go now, whether you're talking about Sudan or the U.S. involvement there?
Well, I think there are several things that need to be done right away. And first, to increase and strengthen the UN peacekeeping mission there. We must not have another Srebrenica in South Sudan. Those tens of thousands of people who have taken refuge in the UN compounds must be protected. Second, the diplomatic efforts which are underway, my successor Don Booth is in and out of Juba, to get a ceasefire and a political process going, to figure out a pathway to these competing ambitions and how they can be managed so the country can get back to peace and development. Though that's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of coordination between the Africans, Europeans, and the Sudanese.
Princeton Lyman is former U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.